Better than me, I met him. Well, this is what I say.
This was the first time you met him.
First time I had met him. And he was a very interesting guy, and of course, had such wonderful jobs, and I'm always interested in people who are doing things and so forth. So he told me all about that. Now then, Weir came in and wanted to take me to dinner. I said, fine.
Where?
Into New York. Wanted to take me in, take me out to dinner. And I said, well, that's great, because John Slash just called. He wants us too, and Weir didn't like us very well. And I'm sorry, too, that we did, because I think Weir and I could have had a nice, leisurely talk together. But I felt, I'd already said yes, I would do it, and I didn't know Weir was coming. So the three of us had dinner together. Now, I have to get back to John Slacks, because after my father died, this was when Pepsi-Cola was over, because the war was over. And I went back to Sioux City, as you may well know, with Ross and Peter. And Ruth. And as I told you, Ross was supposed to have done the activities for the Woman Fireside about the will, etc., and break up the house or whatever. That was his job. But he didn't think he should, because he had a job, and so I was to do it. As I've said, Warner, I've always been the one to do all the things that I thought somebody else was going to do.
So this is back in Sioux City.
Back in Sioux City, okay.
So, when was this?
This was right at 49, it must have been 43, would it have been, the war was over? Not very well.
45.
All right, 45, and it was 45. I mean, Weir had died and father had died. Not very well. When did Weir die? 45.
46.
Oh, then it couldn't have been then. War was over. 46?
I was
16.
I died in April.
I know that.
46.
It was 46? My father died after that, of course. So I couldn't have been home until then.
They both died around the same time. Well, I think Dad died before. Your grandfather died before, because I remember getting this phone call.
Hmm?
I heard the phone call.
What happened? Well, I don't know. Well, so I stayed in Sioux City then, and I am the one who broke up the home. I mean, got rid of the stuff from the other. Huh?
Jackson Street.
Yeah, and I had a sale.
Where was
Where was she?
Yeah.
Oh, she died. You mean his wife? Oh, she died about 6 years before that, I think, or quite a while, as far as I know. Uh-huh. But he had these two cleaning girls or women there that took care of him, and a man. He had three people taking care of him. And, you know, father had his leg off, you know that.
When was that?
Well, it was... No. Raynaud's disease. Raynaud's. Only men get it as a rule. It's a circulatory thing. And so he had his leg off at just below the knee.
And how old was he?
82.
When his leg was cut.
Uh-huh, and he even operated after that. And he said to me, you know, now it can be said that Dr. Jepson has 1 foot in the grave.
Isn't
that cute?
He came to Bethlehem a little bit before he died.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I remember him. He stayed
at
the Bethlehem Hotel.
He didn't want to sit at your house.
He left his home.
He was old. Well, that's what you can say about me, but you can't complain. Well.
He's just stiff and sort of dry and, you know, boring, but then he's a, just
you wouldn't say that about me, though, would you, dear?
Well, you could understand.
Yes, of course I could. Well, so I still have to get back to this John Slacks thing. So, when I was home, I'm sitting home in Sioux City, Iowa, a letter came, and it must have been from him, but I didn't read it because I wasn't interested, and I probably just threw it away. So then I came back out to Los Angeles after this was all done. I stayed in Sioux City that summer for maybe, 6 weeks? 6 weeks? Doing all this, getting all this stuff. Dissipated, the house cleaned, everything cleaned, the books out, and all the rest of the stuff. We had a sale, and we had a sale on the yard, all the stuff that was all around. Oh, that's another story. And so, when I came, John Slacks then was the president of the American Legion, and CARE had started. And in New York, and they went to, they asked for John to come over because they wanted to set up some booths for CARE at the American Legion in San Francisco because they were having a convention out here. So that's why John wrote to me. He said, I know just the person to do it. I suppose that's what he said. And, but I didn't get the letter and paid no attention. So when he came out, he said, what about it? Well, fortunately, I hadn't been out of Pepsi-Cola so long, so I had a lot of volunteers I could call on. So we set up booths all over the city, really, and I can't remember how many. And that's when CARE, also a couple of the men from New York, from CARE, were staying at the... what's the hotel on Market way down at Palace Hotel, and I was with them all the time, and they decided that I was the person who should really take over and start CARE. I said, I never heard of the thing. How am I going to know what to do? Well, I did have contacts, you see, in the city, so I knew practically in the business world, you know, because I had a lot of experience in public relations with Pepsi-Cola, because I had to call people to come in and do this and do that. So I was able to get them contacts. Well, and of course they didn't know anything about these people, so they decided I was the person to do it. So they called me from New York and asked me if I'd take the job over. I said, well, I'd take it for 3 months until I saw what I could do. I mean, just out of the clear sky, all right. So I said, if I could have my own assistant. So Gertrude wasn't doing anything. I said, Gert, come on, let's start CARE. So then John said to me, look, I'll give you an idea.
John
Burnett, said, I've just been to the Commonwealth Club, and Smith, who was the editor of the Chronicle, was there, and he'd just given a talk that he'd had. He'd been in Europe, and he was telling all about CARE and what a wonderful organization it was. Oh, I said, that's a good thing. Thanks a lot. So I called Mr. Smith, and I went over to see him, and I asked him if he would write an editorial for me. And he said yes, and I had it all blown up. Then I asked him for two or three other things. I've forgotten what they were. And he said yes, he would. And he said, not only that, but I'm going to suggest that you go to the two other papers, and I will give you the names of the men that I would like to have you be in touch with. They're important people, and they're not going to fiddle with you. He didn't say that, but in other words, if you have a good story and you can make the paper, that's fine, but don't call for every little thing. Well, that's what started. So we had a room, really. I got out of the hotel. I didn't want to stay there. So we got an office, and Gertrude stayed in the office while I went around. While I was doing my thing, thought processing, figuring out whom to send all this sort of stuff to, because we had to get it all publicized. And then I got on TV, and I got on the radio, and we had spots on the newspapers. And I got the Junior League to do this, and finally I became the West Coast, not finally, I was there before I knew it, West Coast Regional Director of CARE. And I started it out here, up and down the coast. And if you don't think that wasn't a big job, it really was. I got the mayor down in San Diego to I got more things done. And I had outlets in Sacramento. I'd get the Junior Leagues to do this, and I'd get somebody else to do that, and I'd get up before his meeting and say, now look, I'm being paid for this, but it is a non-profit organization, and it's a terrific thing to do, and let's get busy and do it. And Warner, do you know that we were the second in money outside of New York from the time we started?
So
we took in more money for CARE. So, I mean, there's lots of experiences about care I could tell you. Lots and lots and lots. That part isn't too important except to me. Well, then, finally, I had a problem health-wise again. I had gallstones. And I decided to quit and go to Europe. So after, 3-4 years, I said to Bridger, I'm going to quit and go to Europe. Do you want to come with me? So she said yes. So we quit and went to Europe for 8 months. And that's how that happened. And I also wanted to go, Warner, because I wanted to know who I was, what I was doing, where I was going, and what I believed.
How old were you
then? 1949, how old was I? It was so important for me. I had just been, I'd been on the racetrack, my dear, from the time I was old enough to see Jack Rabbit. And I wanted to know so much about me. I wanted to know what I really believed and why I was a... I wanted to know my beliefs. I wanted to know why I was a Catholic, and if I was, why wasn't I knowledgeable about it, etc. All right, now that's another story. So let's get back to your mother and father again.
So you left Bethlehem.
Left Bethlehem that time, and as I say, we...
How did your mother seem to you at that time?
All right. Your mother never seemed anything but all right to me, except, of course, when she came out here. Then, she was just fine. However, Warner, we didn't really have any time to talk either, you know, girly-girly or things like we used to, because there wasn't that much time.
So
and,
yeah.
You know,
that
I was
the last
just...
time you saw them?
No, it wasn't. Oh, because your mother came out here.
The last time you saw Dad?
Yes, it was. It's the last time I saw your father. Mm-hmm. And then your mother came out here, and she stayed with Aunt Anna
on Powell Street.
And I saw her. I had her out. You remember, we had these pictures of her. And she didn't... What was it? Was it that she couldn't remember? Heavens, I don't know.
She had a thyroid problem, but she had to take the little red pills, and she didn't do it. She was going through some kind of spasm.
Oh, was there? Well, I don't recall any part of that at all. And I don't remember... when she went home, and why? Do you?
This is Jean with one of Jean's pieces, I think.
Now, wait a minute. Where was Jean? Jean was here.
Was here.
Was she married then?
She came out here to be with Jean.
Oh, but she didn't stay with Jean.
I think either she went first to Minneapolis, and that didn't work out, because Liam felt that she was... Liam's mother and grandmother didn't get along very well. So
well, wait a minute. Mother and grandmother.
And Maki didn't get along very well.
Oh.
So Leanne thought that they should split.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where she went first. And then she came out here with the junior, but it was vice versa. But.
Well, Jean was married at the time, wasn't she? No.
Yeah.
No.
Jean was married.
Not when your mother. Yes, she was.
Mm-hmm. Because I saw them, I came out here in this spring vacation of 1948, and that was in the Christmas of 48, I went back home. And right after that, they had a yard sale there for all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not in our big house, but my mother had moved to a smaller house.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because there was no, Dad didn't leave much money.
Mm-hmm.
So, mother sold the big house and moved into the small one.
Mm-hmm.
Where
did you own the big house?
Huh?
Did you own the big house?
Yeah.
Well, she must have gotten something out of that.
Huh?
Didn't she get
it?
Mm-hmm.
But Dad didn't leave any money, so as a matter of fact, he kind of left that.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see.
Did he have insurance?
I was only 16. And I lived in that house, was a little small one with mother alone. She didn't think much of herself. anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She started to go downhill physically, and she didn't like, she would never go there with anybody, go out, because she felt a half a couple, she said, was nobody wanted a half a couple.
Incidentally, do you think she loved Weir?
I don't know.
Did she ever talk to you about it? Mm-hmm. Did anybody think that they were happily married? Do you feel that they were happily married?
The Dorns liked them very much.
Mm-hmm.
They liked them both.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they could have done that if they hadn't felt from their union. And they were very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw them afterwards, and they were nice. And the McFadden's were very nice. And,
mm-hmm.
I think Mother, maybe this one, would relate to her being less deep.
Mm-hmm.
That she was sort of concerned with trivia around the house, and so didn't ever look back, maybe except to herself, but not with me.
Mm-hmm. Was she close to Jean? Was she close to any of the children?
Jean was very dominating.
Yeah.
She dominated everybody, the whole house. Possibly except Dad, but maybe there was a different kind of domination, because they were close enough. She dominated Mother, couldn't support her down.
Mm-hmm.
She dominated us two kids because she was older and smarter and more worldly. But she was gone, and so the thing I was going to say is that one of the things that was really hard on me was a bad time for me, because I was alone and was just coming into, well, I was in puberty, and Mother was there like somebody who was very dependent and needed me all the time, needed me to stay home, because she hated to be home alone. And she really felt, which we did, was scared. And she always wanted me to go out with her to dinner in there, and I think we got very sort of uncomfortable, and we started getting mean to each other.
Oh dear.
Because it was so, we were so tired. Unfree, especially me, I guess.
Yes.
And she felt helpless, because here she was, then her life was over. And she,
now, how soon after Weir's death was this?
Well, he died when I was 16, and so...
Must have been right away.
I was a sophomore, and I had 17 junior and senior years alone with Mother.
Where did you go to school?
So I was... Those were hard years, and in the summertime, the kids, Bill and Jean, would come home, and they had their sort of lives and arguments and tensions and stuff. It wasn't very nice.
Well, then how did your mother get out here?
So
Wait a minute. Why did Jean come out here?
Well, Jean came out. Jean drove me to Oberlin to answer it.
Where'd you get the money for that? Over.
Summer
48.
And anyway, Jean was on her way to California.
Why'd she happen to want, what did she want to come out here for? Was this because her boyfriend was out here?
No.
Oh no, a girl. There was a girl. She boyfriend was out here?
No.
Oh no, a girl. There was a girl that she came out with.
Yeah, she came out with a girl. I didn't think she wanted to come out. And so she was out here, and then so when Mother sold the house, probably it was right then. I don't think she could have come out right away, but I think she probably went to Minneapolis first, and it didn't work out. She
who was in Minneapolis, Bill?
No, my mother.
Oh, that's right, huh? And that didn't work out.
Didn't work out. And then she came out here, and then I think.
Did she come out alone?
Yeah. Who? Mother.
Your mother.
And then I think she went into a rest home as time went on.
Not here.
Oh, didn't she? Then she
no.
Then she went to Cincinnati.
No, wait a minute. She didn't come out, no rest home. She was here with Aunt Anna until she went back, and it was, where was Bill? Bill was in some hospital.
Bill was in Cincinnati.
All right, so in school.
In medical school.
Yeah. So he had her someplace.
Yeah, she went to a home there.
Uh-huh.
And then it was a nice home, private home, and finally they couldn't handle her anymore, because she began to go so down with it and became a child at the festival.
Oh, really?
And And so they put her into a public home. And that's where I saw her, I think, or I saw her in one of those homes.
Mm-hmm.
Just briefly, I think in my third year of college.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last I saw her.
Mm-hmm. And who was with her, anybody?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And she never regained any of her...
No, she just went straight
down. Right down the hill.
And died of pneumonia in the place with everybody.
Died. Oh, did she? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. 10 years almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know when she was out here, because I was out on Union, uh-huh, and I had them out there, and I saw her. Now, I think this is interesting, but maybe I've told you this before, about Aunt Anna and how I knew about her. Did I tell you this? Well, yes. I mean, I think I met her maybe at the wedding, but I didn't know. And when she lived out here, she was a friend of Stella's. Did I ever tell you that, or did I talk about that? Who? Stella and your Aunt Anna?
They're both aunts of our mother's.
Well, oh, no, they're not even related, because Stella is on my mother's side, and your Aunt Anna is on...
My mother's
side. Yes, well, they haven't any relationship at all.
Well, that's true, but...
No.
Yeah, they're both our great aunts. They're my... Great aunts on both sides of the family.
Yes, but they're not related in any way.
Right.
So, I don't know how Stella met Aunt Anna, but I think they were really quite good friends, except that I have a feeling I told you this, they were talking about Audrey, and it's so small, I just can't believe it. Something, you know, Audrey had a very strange neck, you know, remember? Kind of lumpy or whatever. Well, evidently, Stella must have said something about it, and Anna told Audrey about it, and they never, oh Lord, and got back to Stella, and Stella never spoke to Anna again. That was the end of that. Well, now then, John accidentally found out that, because he had her insurance. I'm talking about Anne's insurance. And something came up about Minneapolis, and John said, well, he knew this girl who was, we'd been starting playing together. And who is it? Well, for goodness sake, she's related to my niece. I think this is a coincidence, don't you?
Somebody's talking to John about who?
You talk about me.
About you?
Yeah, to Anne.
And to
Anne? Yeah. And so he told her, and Anne was flabbergasted, that John was going with B. Jepson, whose niece had married my brother. So then I saw her a few times, and she came out to my house to dinner a couple of times, and she went back to the Catholicism. Did you know that? Yes, she did. I didn't know she ever was one, but we were... She was there at a dinner one night, and I don't know how it happened. I had about four or five people there. I don't know, and she told about it. And,
Well, now, where did she live before she went to the rest of
Yes, she lived on Powell Street.
Yeah, Anna?
Mm-hmm. She lived on Powell.
When she was married, before she was...
Oh, I don't... I think she lived in the Sausalito.
Oh, really?
I think so, mm-hmm.
She said I just got rid of a grand piano, concert piano.
Oh?
9 foot piano.
I don't know. Why, could she play the piano? Was she pretty?
I don't know, but she must have had the money to get the
piano. Yeah.
Piano.
I don't know anything about it. But Stella liked her husband, too. Of course, he had died. I think she lived in Sausalito.
Her husband died first, Fred, Annis, or Stella?
Oh, Annis.
Yes.
Fred died a long time before Uncle Harry died. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Well, Stella didn't have anything more to do with him after that lump on Audrey's head neck got around. It was ridiculous. It was terrible for Anne to report it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm saying. This is the type of thing I think those women were apt to do. It's girly, girly stuff that doesn't amount to a tinker's dam and offends people sometimes. And of course, Stella was a very cold cookie. She wasn't up to anything like that. She wouldn't ever gossip about anything. just different people. So so that's how that happened. And then, of course, after she died, well, I helped to get her, at least I did, I tried to get her into the Little Sisters out there on Lake Street. Anna. Because I didn't think Jean was dreaming very much about it. And incidentally, I have heard that that's one of the best places, that and the Jewish home for old people. That it's best run and it's meticulous and they're kind to them. And the only thing you can't get in if you have any money.
I've played at the one in the Jewish home out on Silver.
Have you?
It's a very nice.
Yes, I know it is. Well, I understand this is the, those two are the two of the best. Well, and then, as you know, when the when she died, and this is the thing, I told you that. I just never could understand why in the world Jean wouldn't, we didn't go down
there. I went out and visited her a number of times.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good.
She enjoyed it. She seemed.
Yeah, that was a nice place.
But that, it just made me think that she was special to be able to turn that place into a positive experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She said she liked it.
Yes. Well, she was a lovely woman, I thought. I liked it. But why do you suppose Jean didn't want to go down to the funeral? I mean, down to the cemetery.
Jean didn't like to do a lot of things she was supposed to do.
Well, I know that. You know,
I think that's part of her personality. You can't ask me.
You know, I'm amazed that she's now back having some little feeling toward me that I think is better than she's had for a long time. You know, she can stand my guts, I guess.
Age changes.
Well, I think so. Yes, I do. I do. And I felt very critical of what she had done on occasions, and I dared to say so. You know me.
Well, she's going to have a penis hurt, and you got to take the consequences.
Well, I did. I thought that's the way she felt.
Sure.
She, I mean, but here, you know.
I mean, if somebody said things to you, you would have heard them. Look what Anna did to
Stella. Yeah, but Warner, this is what I think. I want to get back to this because this is what we're talking about when I said the characteristics that we have. When we know that, I think we ought to be able to talk about them and not be hurt about them, but try to see how these can be changed or understood. Because if you tell me about something about me that you dislike, and I ought to be able to take it and with thanks, as a matter of fact, because how are you ever going to improve if you can't accept people's criticism? Now, if they say this in a belligerent way, that's a different story. But if you really wanted to help me and would say, well, now, B, look, don't you think you could have done it this way? I mean, I would start to look at it and say, well, yeah, I guess good, that would probably be a lot better. And I'd try to see that. I really would. I've always felt that we should try to do better.
Yeah, but that's maybe, she was a lot younger.
That's true.
And also I think she's very insecure.
Who, Jean?
Yeah.
Why? It's insecure now.
I don't know now, but she's always been insecure. I think that's why she has such a terrible temper. And why she's so sensitive is that she doesn't have the strength to just take up things. I don't know, as a matter of fact, why the three of us children, how we came from our two parents in many ways. Because our two parents, I think, gave us a certain amount of love. I don't think we got any kind of real negativity from them. Mm-hmm. Both of us, they may not have praised us all the time, but I think they...
Oh, they thought a great deal of all of you.
I think they treated us very well.
Uh-huh.
And yet, all three of us, maybe not so much Bill, but I think Jean and I have a lot of insecurities. And I think Bill has a few too.
Well, I suppose we all do. But now...
I don't know where it came from.
Well, that hasn't anything to do, or has it?
Well,
to do with your parents.
You can't accept criticism if you're feeling very vulnerable.
You can't?
No, you can't. You have to have a certain strength in order to be able to. And also, it's easy for you to say that somebody else should take your criticism when, because you can see the two sides, but the person who you're criticizing may just see that you're down on them, and they'll say, I mean, feel is your objections or rejections.
But if you tell that person, and I want you to know this because I told you that in the letter, my letter, I think I did. When I say anything to any of you people, I don't say this to be unkind. If I didn't give a hoop for you, I wouldn't even bother.
Yeah, well, we don't always know
that. Well, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, but you didn't tell us that in the beginning. You told us that, right?
Oh.
You might have told her that at the end, but you didn't tell us certainly. You didn't preface your criticism with that.
Oh.
And you may have thought it inside, but it doesn't come off.
Oh, uh-huh. Well, first of all, I don't know that it's a... what I'm trying to get over is, I don't know that I like the word criticism.
Yeah.
I don't like
what
that word. True. But if we could, each one of us, instead of saying criticism, characteristics, would that be it? Or
you're describing this.
Something. I'm just trying to think. Instead of saying criticism, if an event occurs and there are things about it that we feel that both or one or the other didn't do it quite right or could have done it better. I'm not doing that. I mean, I know what I'm trying to say, but I'm kind of putting it into specifics. And I don't like the idea of having, I don't want to hurt anybody. It's the last thing in the world I want to do is to hurt anybody. But I feel... a great deal to do with Florence, too.
Okay, go ahead.
Very well. When Florence and I were little girls, Florence was... very much interested in, pardon me, very much interested in boys, as we all are at 13 and 14. But at that time, Father had a whatever, and he certainly would have.
Oh, yeah, you tell us.
I told you about that. And then did I tell you that she wanted to go to the mound?
Yeah, yeah.
And I told you that she kept asking him, and then that I'm the one that went out, and
twice.
So he said, you can both go. Oh, that's fine. I love that. Well, so that's the story.
What do you think he said to her? You don't know.
About
why
what?
Why was she suddenly changed? What did he say to her that could change her like that against boys?
Oh, well, I think a lot of fathers, just as you were reporting in this, a lot of fathers, and I think he was so guilty himself, he was so scared to death that his daughter was going to be looking at some boyfriend. What?
The next victim.
I suppose so. I don't know, but anyway, he was.
But were there boys that...
No. This is in Sioux City, Iowa. Honey, that's a convent. She wanted to go where there weren't any. Because she hated... From that time on, she hated boys. And this
he
was
must just, have really made boys look like to be really awful.
Well, she just hated them because she didn't know what to do about this whole thing. And this was her thing. It got to be that way. And she was that way all the time up until the time...
Okay.
She and this is why I say these things are very shocking to young people.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, something interesting, when we were talking about your article, which I thought was good, and I want to tell you something that I observed, and I think I may have. When you brought Matthew over here the first time, and we sat on the stool, I mean on the sofa over there, and we were talking about backgrounds and so forth, and I don't think you thought he properly did something. And so you chastised him. And he was so, he didn't know me. It's just like I felt that when you and I were talking at your house. You didn't know me, and you said you don't remember this, but I could just feel for you that you must have been hurt, because here was your aunt whom you hadn't seen in years, and suddenly your father was telling you off, and you didn't like it. Well, I didn't like it. I didn't like it when you did this to Matthew, but apparently you're not aware of it, and maybe he wasn't. But I kept very...
Did Matty look crushed himself?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm sure. I mean, I felt for him, so I presume he was without realizing it. You can't help it when these things happen. I'm trying to think what it was. It was something that you chastised him for. I don't even think I should even bring up what it was, because I don't recall. And the thing that was, I thought, oh dear, I wish he wouldn't do that. I wish no parent would ever do that in front of other people. If they have anything to say, they should say it quietly. you know, when they're...
Well, tell us about...
All right, what? Where did I end?
What can you tell us about Mom?
Well, I think I started to tell you that. I think I told you that she... now, if I've gone over this. You see, Weir and Chip, this doctor that I was engaged to at the time, and Arden and I were very, very close, and we used to go double dating weekends, and not only that, but during the week we'd play bridge, et cetera, et cetera. In Minneapolis, yes. And this is when Mother and Florence, Mother and Weir and I were living 4045, and of course Arden was at her own mother's home.
And would that be in
1901? Well, now let me see. It was, I was divorced then. Must have been about 1921 or two. I could be wrong. I could give you the date a later time. It was before they were married. And then we used to go out on picnics and stuff like that, and we had a very jolly time. But I never felt awfully close to your mother, because I think I told you before, I don't think we had the same interests. I was working, and she was social, as it were. She loved to talk about...
Well, how do you think Dad and Mom got together?
I told you how they got together. It was Lee Harker, who was a dentist, and was a very close friend of Weir's, and he knew Adrian, and Joe knew Adrian, and I think they used to play bridge and, you know, that sort of thing. And so I think Weir had just come back from North Dakota, I think, where he was working, and thought it'd be nice for Weir to meet Adrian, and I guess he was trying to promote. Lee Harker, Dr. Lee Harker, was trying to promote this thing.
Did Dad ever talk to you about Mom?
Well, not very much.
Courting,
what?
When he was courting her?
No, he didn't say. He told more to Florence than he did to me. I don't think your father really wanted to get married to Adrian. Now, that's my feeling, because, as a matter of fact, I think he told Florence he didn't, and he didn't know what to do about it. And, it wasn't because he didn't... It's just that he didn't want to get married at that time.
Why didn't he think he knew what to do about it?
Well, I can't answer that. He didn't want to tell her outright. Well, they weren't even engaged, as far as I know, but they were going together, and I don't think he was ready for marriage then.
Do you think she pushed him into it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, all women do. And I think maybe Lee had something to do with it.
You know about Andrea.
Huh?
You know about Andrea.
No, I don't know anything about that. But I think all women, if they're interested in a man, try to get them. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that she did, but I mean, I never saw anything that Audrey never did that would indicate to me that she was falling all over him. But they didn't fall all over anybody in those days. They just led them to believe that they were interested, and she certainly did and was, and should have been, and he was too. He was interested in her, but I don't think he was ready to get married, is what I mean. And I remember Florence telling me, because they were out in the backyard, I'm talking about Florence and Weir, and Florence said, Ted, do you know Weir talked to me about maybe getting married, and I, now I'm quoting things I shouldn't quote, but this is what I recall, that he wasn't ready for marriage. I guess that was it. And I don't recall what was said about it.
How old was he then?
Well, however old he was. He was, 7 years younger than I, or 8 years younger than I. I don't know. Well,
older than you.
Older, yes, he was older than I. Oh, yeah. Well, I think he probably was close to, 30? I'll have to,
Well, see, I was...
All right, now...
I think I was 35. He was 35 when I was born.
Oh, really?
So that would make him 6 years younger than that. About 28.
Mm-hmm. Well, he probably was about 27 or 8.
Yeah.
6 years. Yeah, that's probably pretty good, because I was probably 21 or 22. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. But I don't think it has anything to do, in a sense, that it was Audrey. I don't think he was against Audrey.
Yeah.
I don't think he was wanted to get married at the time. He wasn't really settled. He just got back from Belfush, South Dakota, and he hadn't adapted himself. He hadn't gotten into things yet. And moreover, the depression was coming on, too.
So they had just met. And how long was it before that he met that he married her?
Well, I imagine it was, I don't know that either, but my guess is around 6 months.
That's all.
It may have been more, Warner.
That's fast, huh?
Well, I don't even recall. I don't know that I should say that.
It is 6 months.
Is it? Yeah. Well, I mean,
or was it that?
I don't.
People court each other a long time.
Oh, well, not that. No, it's not that. But Victoria, no. No. Well, maybe 8 months. I don't recall. But she wanted it. She was going to have, once they got married, of course, she was going to have a huge wedding. And she had one of the most gorgeous weddings you ever saw. She had, what was it, 7 or 8 bridesmaids. Florence was one. And then she had Julianne, this little girl, who was
Carrie,
yeah. She was Joe and Lee Harker's daughter. And it was a beautiful, beautiful wedding. Beautiful wedding.
How was Monkey?
Well, I don't know if they ever took a picture of her even. Well, I'm sure she engineered the whole thing, because your grandmother was cracked on the subject of social, as far as I know.
What do you mean cracked?
Well, she loved the idea of everything being just so, which is right, that was all right, but she wanted everything. She was very social.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the fact that she married Mr. Warner, who turned out to, and was a great guy, and who turned out to be some pumpkins. She was a lot younger than he, you know. And older, I mean, than he.
She was
older than Oh, yeah. She was a very, do you remember her at all?
A little bit.
She was a very plain-looking woman, but very lovely woman, and dressed very nicely, and watched her weight, and watched what she ate, and watched this, and always did the right thing, and saw that everybody had the right thing, and her home was beautiful, and everything was artistic, and no, there's no complaint about her. And Deary was always Deary, you know, was Mr.
Warner. He was a lot younger, huh?
Oh, yes, I'm sure about, well, when I say a lot, I imagine he was, my guess is that he probably was anywhere from 6 to 8 to 10 years younger. Tall, handsome guy.
What did he die?
Tooth that he got infected. Didn't have it taken care of. It was infected, and I guess he wasn't thinking that it was that important, and by the time he got there, the infection went all through his system. So, yeah, that was pretty bad.
How old was he then?
Oh, honey, I don't know. I imagine, yeah, maybe not that old, I don't know. And then young Leon was around, and Leon, this always used to strike us, it struck me, and I've heard others in the family say, because he always kissed his father, you know, always. Well, okay, fine, but I mean, on the lips? On the lips?
Yeah, I don't think that's what difference is.
Well, it doesn't make any difference, only it isn't usual.
But it's okay.
All right. I didn't say it wasn't. Yeah. I'm just simply saying it wasn't usual.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, you know, say don't kiss them, but maybe a lot of people who haven't heard that message do it because they feel like it.
Yeah, and they should if they feel like it. Right. But it just seems so strange, this young kid, this great big 6'2" guy, and I mean, for people who didn't have that in their family, and there were very few, I think, that they did. Otherwise, they wouldn't have mentioned it.
Nobody kissed your father.
Oh, my gosh. I'm the only kissing bug in the family. He used to call me a kissing bug.
That's why it was so strange.
Yeah, because I'm the only one that ever, and I was really a kissing bug. Other than I, really,
well,
went steady.
Did Dad ever talk about Mom later after he was married to you?
Well, no, because I wasn't there. Right. See, I was gone then by that time.
Did he write you letters?
Oh, yeah, sure. I was very close to Weir. I mean, I thought I was. Oh, yes, sure, we used to write. And Audrey and write once in a while. Weir was really a pretty good correspondent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think he was very fond of me.
You have the letters?
Oh, Lord, no. I shouldn't say it like that, but I mean, I didn't keep them. There. You don't think of keeping letters that you have from your brother, you know? No, but my guess is that he would write to me at least once a month or so, and I wrote to him. I was in California, and he was out there, and I came out here. I knew some of his friends, you know, and so, no.
Well, he wrote you once a month. What did he say about his marriage?
Well, nothing. He wouldn't talk about his marriage. What husband would talk about their marriage to their sister unless there was something going wrong? And if they did, he'd be the last person to tell
it. He could also talk about how wonderful it was.
Oh,
it was
Oh, I don't think you did. Well, I don't know, but
you don't remember.
Well, no, I don't, and I don't think Eddie Jepson would ever have done either one of those things.
Do.
You do? Well, maybe you would have, but I don't think Weir would, and I don't think Ross would, and I don't think Florence would.
Yeah.
I might have, but I don't think anybody else in our family would have. So, I don't know, and I think I told you also that if they didn't have a happy marriage, I don't know that. I only can sense what I saw. And I told you that I believed that Weir I just thought he was a doll, and I think two-thirds of the people who knew him and knew him well felt the same way. I believe that. But I also think that he had a lot of Jepson characteristics, which made it very, very difficult for anyone to... when I say to live with him, I hate to make it that strong. But I think I think any one of us, as I've told you before, instead of saying, well, do you think this, we say, we think, and then that stops the whole darn thing. And I think we were very opinionated. And I don't think, honestly, not through ego, I don't think it's that at all. I just think that we all were thinkers. And Weir was a definite thinker. He did a lot of writing, you know. And he loved new ideas. He loved to think things through. And this was part of Father was the same way. And so I think he inherited a lot of it. And Audrin wasn't interested in that. Audrin was a social type, very. But she always looked like a queen when she came in. She was tall and stately. And well, she wasn't I wouldn't call her exactly even a pretty woman, but there's something about she had some charisma. And she was always so queenly. And a lovely speaking voice, and dressed very nicely. And as you know, your home, you may not remember, but it was very beautiful.
I remember the home very much.
And it was very well done. And you'd never find any children there while she and her husband were living who have introduced a different world to their family. They would die. Audrin would die if she saw the banners that you and Matt and some of you people have.
Yeah.
She'd die.
Yeah.
And she probably, I don't know whether she'd yak like I would, but she certainly wouldn't be able to stand it much. So this is why it's overwhelming to me when I think of this beautiful home that she had always, and her grandmother, I mean her mother, she came from this. And you'd have thought you'd all inherited. Instead of that, you all, I don't know where you got this. Jean turned out, and when she was first married, she was a mess too. I mean, I love her. I'm not talking about that. But just it never rolled off on any of you, I guess.
Do you know anything about Mucky's mother?
No, I didn't even know. No, no, no. How would I know about her? She would have been.
Do you know anything about the Hennessy?
No.
Mother's father.
No, I knew. No, in fact, I didn't even know that was their name until sometime. Oh, years later. You see, I wasn't home there for so long, and I don't know where Florence found it out, or Mother. And Mother and Florence were never the kind of wanted to... They were not curiosity hounds at all. They weren't...
Well, you mean you didn't know way back when your mother was alive?
Yeah.
Your mother knew about Mr. Hennessy?
Well, they must have. Florence knew about it. Somebody told me about it.
When you were young, huh?
Well, no, I wasn't young. I must have been 22 or...
Oh, yeah, after they...
After...
When they married.
No. When your mother married, I don't even remember when she married Mr. Warner. I have any idea. Huh? Okay. I don't have any idea when she married Mr. Warner. But I learned, somebody told me, that Mrs. Warner ran a boarding house.
Yeah.
And that she was Catholic.